The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 164 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, we focus on one or more of three content providers: you, them, and me. In today's episode, we'll be focusing on two of them, the you and the me. That You segment is all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. Today for the You part, we have our latest regular feature, Unscripted Cohorts, where I get hit cold with a question from our cohort. And we also have a non-Pennsylvania question about Ukraine, of all places. After that comes the me portion of the Pennsylvania Project, where it will be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. I'll be focusing on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw. Today, it's graffiti. And throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we'll be featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to serve as narrator to read our live commercials. Today's narrator is making his second appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. He's Utsav Ganarawala of the Drexel Speaks Toastmasters Club at Drexel University in Philadelphia. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Utsav.
Hey, Ken. It's great to be back here.
I know. I'm excited. And you're still smiling, too. You know, and let me try it one more time. Ganarawala.
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 Well, you got it right the second time.
There you go. That's because I was listening to you talk about it. I will get it sometime. Yeah, I have problems enough with my name, Krawchuk, you know. Yeah. But, and I have fewer syllables than you. Anyway, welcome back. It's good to have you again, sir. And we also have another Toastmaster with us, according to another one of our ancient customs. She is here to read and help respond to whatever comes into our mailbag. It is a role that we call cohort. And today's cohort is making a record-breaking 24th appearance here on the Pennsylvania Project. Far and away outdistancing all the other cohorts. Not put together, but a lot. She is none other than the famous Donna Herb, the lady with the golden voice and secretary of the ETS Toastmasters Club in Princeton, New Jersey. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Donna.
Wow, Ken. I cannot believe that I'm actually here for number 24. And my last name is much easier than both of you, except sometimes people forget to pronounce the H because it's Herb.
So they're knocking the H out of you.
Sometimes people call it Herb, like, you know, herbs and spices, but it's not. It's Herb, and my grandmother used to say, and nobody's knocked the H out of me yet. She was a feisty old thing.
I love it.
May she rest in peace.
I love it. And you brought your mom back.
I did.
It's the first time she's been back in months. She's been hiding in Boston, months. Pocking the car.
That's right.
Well, good to see both of you here.
Yeah.
And did you get reelected as secretary of ETS Toastmasters?
The elections haven't happened yet.
Are you running?
Which direction?
Running for the exit, right? It's like me and the governorship, right?
I don't know. If somebody else wants to take it, they're more than welcome to.
No, you do a wonderful job, especially after the performance that you put on at our last meeting.
I thought it was supposed to be an actual presentation when they said we're going to do a panel discussion with presentations on the roll. So I took them to heart.
You're the man, woman. I'm telling you, you're a Toastmaster. You don't have to tell you twice.
Counted as a speech, too, so that was cool.
Yep. Yeah, even better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're down to a half hour these days, so we can't really spend a whole lot of time gabbing like this. We should get right to your question. I'm sure you brought some kind of a question with you. You always bring the good ones.
I have an interesting question, if I may.
No.
All right.
go for it. The alternatives would go to Bernie.
All right. Well, there's a little bit. You can do Bernie first if you'd rather. I don't know. It's your format. Well, our church has been struggling with a rather contentious topic lately about whether the American flag should be allowed in the sanctuary or not. It turns out that the greater authorities in church denominations decided to leave that up to local churches to wrestle with on this topic on their own.
They dodged. They punted.
They compromised, I think.
Non-leadership.
You know, there's some that say, well, separation of church and state means no flag in the sanctuary. And from a theological perspective, if you talk to a lot of ministers, they will say only symbols related to God should be in the presence of the sanctuary for worship. It's okay if the flag's in the narthex, like the fellowship hall or the lobby or whatever, but they don't want it in the sanctuary. On the other side are the people who say that without the freedom of religion guaranteed by this country, we wouldn't be able to have the luxury of worshiping God as we see fit. So we should honor the country in which we live by having the flag present in worship.
Uh-huh.
So I was just curious about what your position was on national flying, as being in sanctuaries, church sanctuaries, or whatever, especially with your libertarian background.
Uh-huh. Well, you know me as a libertarian. I believe you have the right to live your life your way, provided you respect the rights and property of others, and that extends to your church, or the right to run your church your way. So now, once you get into the details of that, I understand why people would say, oh, no, only sacred things should be here. I'm a recovering Roman Catholic.
Yes.
So we have a lot of those types of questions. And I don't recall ever seeing the American flag in St. Ambrose Church there on C and the Boulevard in Northeast Philadelphia. But I would say the call is up to you. Now, I would look at it the other way. When they say freedom of religion, that's a government mandate, not a church mandate. Church can have any mandate they want. I mean, there's the Church of Satan, and they have some interesting mandates. I'm not familiar with any of the details of yours. I'm not that cosmopolitan when it comes to knowledge of other religions. I would say, in my opinion, I would say no. It shouldn't be there because it's not related to the church. I don't have a flag flying in my house. Do you have a flag flying in your house?
Actually, my husband does like to fly a flag, so... For him, he does. I mean, my opinion on this is I don't need symbols to remind me that I love my country and uh-huh. where I live. I don't even need symbols in my church to remind me that I love God uh-huh. and all of that.
No symbols, no snare drums? Sorry. My mind just makes connections all the time. I can't help it. It is
okay.
My only talent is pattern recognition, and everything I do follows from that.
Actually, that's something that my dad would have said. He used to like double entendres and such. So
I can see the pattern already. Anyway, no, I say it's up to them, and I would say that since the church... Oh, well, there you go. In the Bible, when Jesus cleared the temple, my temple should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of the government.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. So next time you go in, I don't know.
Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and God what is God's.
That was a great dodge. I love that,
mm-hmm.
you know. You question the question rather than answering the question. I love doing that.
Yeah.
But there you go. Now you have a couple things. You got a biblical backup. You got a constitutional backup. And by the way, the Constitution doesn't guarantee the right, doesn't give you the right. It only secures that right. And here in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania was the very first state in the nation, in anywhere in America, to guarantee religious freedom.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, when William Penn came over. You know, I should do that. I did a presentation on the Pennsylvania Constitution in Lancaster a couple weeks ago.
Hmm.
And I did part of the history. I should do that. Yeah.
That would be a good show.
Couple episodes from now, when it seems appropriate. Now, what do you think? Should it be there? Flag be there? Not be there? What's your opinion on that?
It's very interesting because I have to represent the congregation. I'm an elder on our
sister. You don't
sistery.
Look like an elder. You're a pretty girl.
Well, it's not a matter of age. It's a deacon versus an elder. It's what the foreman is. Part of the spiritual support and so on of that.
Uh-huh.
But... There are things that people feel very strongly one way or another.
Uh-huh.
If really push came to shove,
yeah,
I would have to say I don't think that the flag needs to be in the sanctuary. It can be at the entranceway to remind you, yes, that's the country you are, and that allows
right.
you that freedom.
My
They're
temple
there to
should
back you
be
up. A house
of
prayer.
But you have made it
a den of thieves.
Get out!
My God. You know, I watch that every year.
We do that too. We call it Superstar Party.
Yeah.
And we do it Saturday, Easter Saturday night, the whole time.
Yeah.
And we just did it again.
I have seen so many different performances. I have seen
do you know
live
the
ones.
Pilot has been in every single one of them, the same actor.
Oh, then you're not looking at the same ones I am.
Well, maybe you're looking at some local production or something.
I've done a lot of local productions. I've done New York. I've done Pennsylvania's. What's the theater in
Walnut Street Theater? No. Do you know that's the oldest live actor play house in the nation? Yeah. Walnut Street Theater goes back to like 1700 or something like that. I know all this trivia about.
No,
I should do a show
that.
On Pennsylvania trivia.
No, the one, the big one, the K.
Academy of Music.
No.
I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, crap. I can't remember. I've seen a whole bunch.
The Crap Center. All right.
All over the place. So.
Let's move on. We're not going to have time for poor Bernie.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No Bernie?
Let's get Bernie going.
All right. Let me do Bernie here. Our friend Bernie McCann.
Hey, Bernie.
He's still in Ellsworth City, Pennsylvania. Bernie says, I know this isn't a Pennsylvania issue, but I guess... Being a libertarian, you're opposed to using taxpayer dollars to send aid to the Ukraine. I'm assuming that if we had a libertarian president, we'd stay out of it completely. Then there's the press. How can anyone not want to help those people? I don't give to private charities anymore since I stopped working, so it's very convenient for me that the government handles this with my taxes. But... That is the problem with most liberals. They do want the government to handle everything.
Yep, too true, Bernie. But then again, that is the hallmark of the liberal. Hold a gun to somebody else's head, force them to pay your taxes and spend their loot somewhere the liberals want to spend it. And then if you refuse, they send in the men with the guns, take your money anyway, and put you in a cage for having the temerity to refuse them. Who, me? Jaded? Yep. Guilty as charged.
You jaded Mandarin.
Updated. I'm stuck on Jesus today.
Sorry.
Anyway, as you can tell, Bernie's question has nothing to do with Pennsylvania. Matter of fact, I wasn't going to do it. But it does focus on libertarianism, and for that, I will forgive Bernie his geographical faux pas. And plus, on a personal note, my heritage is Ukrainian, as you can tell with a surname like Krawchuk. So I decided we'll give this one a shot just to be different.
And I have friends in the Ukraine, so I appreciate that.
Dobre. Of course, everyone is well aware that Russia has recently invaded Ukraine. Not very libertarian, is it, invading your neighbor like that? Or is it? As longtime listeners know, as a libertarian, I believe you have the right to live your life your way without interference, provided you respect the rights and property of others. And from what I've read, Mother Russia has felt threatened by Ukraine and is taking the preemptive step to remove that threat. And hey, if one country threatens another, it is right and proper to remove that threat. So on the face of it, Russia is acting in a very libertarian manner. However, the only problem is that there is no threat to Russia from the Ukraine. And my research shows it's all fabricated nonsense. Ukraine is not run by Nazis, as Russia insists. In fact, the Ukrainian president is Jewish. Ukraine is not pursuing nuclear weapons, and in fact, they gave away all the old nukes that they owned when the Soviet Union broke up. So the Russian aggression is just that, aggression. And the world has reacted accordingly with sanctions, military aid, and more. And as so Bernie aptly put it, how can anybody not want to help those people? I agree. Bottom line here is that Bernie is correct. Ukrainian people need the help to fight off the Russian aggression. But what form should that help take? Now, before you answer that question, remember our signature anti-metaboly here at the Pennsylvania Project? Quote, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, unquote. So what's the correct problem to solve? Well, simple. How to help Ukraine without turning us into another Russia ourselves. Well, the way I see it, when liberals like Bernie champion the idea of spending tax dollars to help Ukraine, they're championing the idea of sending in the men with guns to seize Pennsylvania's money and give it to Ukraine. But to my mind, stealing money from Pennsylvanians is just as morally wrong as one country attacking another for trumped up reasons, pun intended. That sort of forced charity is an evil means to a good end and reprehensible to any libertarian. So what do we do? Stand by and watch innocent Ukrainians suffer and die? Of course not. Correct problem is how to solicit the funds to help the Ukrainians fight off tyranny. And the only moral way to do that is to ask for the money and not steal it at gunpoint from Pennsylvanians and act like we are another Russia or something. So let me ask, why don't we hold a fundraiser or GoFundMe page? Tell me that millions of people wouldn't contribute billions of dollars to help the Ukrainians? They would. You know they would.
And they have.
And the best example that I've seen of that sort of a libertarian spirit comes from none other than my personal hero, Elon Musk. It was in the early days of the war that the Russians bombed the Ukrainian internet infrastructure into ruin. But Elon stepped up and contributed thousands of Starlink terminals so that the Ukrainians can use Elon's Starlink satellites to connect to the internet in a way that the Russians couldn't bomb. At no point did Elon bust into your house and demand money at gunpoint. At no point does a GoFundMe page threaten to put you in a cage if you don't pay up. But in both cases, the problem of funding the Ukrainian help not only gets solved, but solved correctly. Donna, I have to ask you, what value is there in defending Western culture if we betray the very principles that define it?
I love your solution. I do understand as a government we want to help our quote-unquote allies. So I do understand that. Mm. But, we contributed, actually, some money to a place that was...
See what I mean? Did anybody hold a gun to your head?
Absolutely not.
Did they threaten to put you in a cage?
No. And our local, one of our local restaurants held a weekend of, Ukrainian fundraising. If you went, and he had Ukrainian, which he doesn't usually do because it's an Italian place, but he had some Ukrainian meals on the menu, and he contributed a portion of every meal to the cause as well.
Uh-huh.
So,
there's jokes about that.
That's about what?
Ukrainian food.
Oh.
But you have to be Ukrainian to get it.
Okay.
Anyway, on that libertarian note, that's going to have to do it for the U portion of episode 164 of the Pennsylvania Project. We're going to pause this information, and when we return, I'm going to be ranting about something that seems to be everywhere, graffiti.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, and yes. We are here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions. So we have authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution to be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, pennsylvaniaproject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that's never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore? Gun Owners of America is fighting for your right to keep and bear arms in Pennsylvania and across the nation. GOA's no compromise approach protected the firearms industry during the coronavirus pandemic and kept local gun stores open. In Pennsylvania, our members pressured sheriffs to start issuing concealed carry permits again during the crisis. A GOA membership gives you the tools to take action to fight for your Second Amendment rights. Our timely action alerts empower you to defend our constitutionally protected rights in Harrisburg and in Washington. All Pennsylvania gun owners need to band together, and there is no better way of doing that than with a GOA membership. There hasn't been a more critical time to sign up, folks, because Congress and the entire House of Representatives are up for re-election in the next election. So, join GOA today for only $25. Go to gunowners.org/join. That's gunowners.org/join and become a member for only $25. Once more, it's gunowners.org/join.
Hey, Donna Herb here, cohort on the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader? Communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me. I joined Toastmasters and now I'm on the radio. So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome. And be sure to mention you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project Radio Show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org.
The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Meh, could be better.
Why? What do you mean?
I just found a great job, but I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go as a 1099 contractor.
So?
So what about all the taxes? Federal taxes, state taxes, this tax, that tax. I have better things to do than figuring out the tax laws and filing out all those forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Then what you need is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's the damn 16th Amendment that got me into this predicament in the first place.
No. Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them, and when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes? All the forms?
Yep. One call does it all. And they can pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Sounds perfect. Where do I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's amendment, SIXTEEN.com. One call does it all. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the me portion of episode 164 of the Pennsylvania Project, where I get to rant a bit about something that really sticks in my craw. Pull out your can of spray paint, because today is going to be graffiti. And I'm looking at the clock, and we're not going to have time for this.
Oh, no.
And you know what? This is funny, because this is like the fourth time that I'm going to be putting this off.
That you're pushing off graffiti?
Yeah.
My one nephew was really into graffiti for a while.
What kind of graffiti?
You know, the kind where they do those little bubble things with a spray paint, and he was doing it on boards and on all sorts of stuff. I mean, he wasn't defacing other people's properties. He was doing it as an art form.
Sure, sure. That's what they all say. You know, I remember when there was no graffiti here in Philadelphia, and then this one guy started. In fact, it was Cornbread. And he would just write Cornbread all over the place. The Wikipedia article even mentions that.
Wow.
Yeah. There's him and Cool Earl. And then it spread out from there. And back in the day, they were the only tags that you would see anywhere in Philadelphia. Then it got out of control.
I disagree that they should be able to just, you know, deface public stuff everywhere.
Well, you know, I checked on Wikipedia when I was researching for this, and it turns out that graffiti is literally thousands of years old.
Oh, I'll bet you can find it in the Roman Empire.
They did. It goes back to ancient Rome, Greece. It's in Pompeii, behind the lava, everything like that.
That's too funny.
And the sort of things that they found were poems, advertising, political slogans, love letters.
Wow.
Yeah. It was the first known example of social media. Although
never thought of that.
Wikipedia doesn't mention that. I think I should probably go in there and change that, make it say that it's a social media.
Oh, so it didn't say that.
No.
Oh.
Well, it's Wikipedia, you know?
It's Wikipedia.
You say what you want about it.
Yeah. So, well, what are you going to do then? You don't have graffiti time?
Well, we just spent some graffiti time.
We did.
On it right there. And because the graffiti rant needed 10 minutes, and we only had 5 left.
Oh. And I'm not used to this new half-hour format.
I know, me
this
neither.
Is like, it just flies by, like it's like poof, gonch.
I know. I think what we're going to have to do is change the commercial content, because we got to keep Amendment 16, because they are our primary sponsor.
Right.
And we did get rid of Atlas Snubbed, because that's not going to fit. But we did keep
the Pennsylvania Constitution.
What do you think we should keep, Donna?
Oh, Well,
and this and is, GOA, this is, I mean, they're a paid customer.
You have to keep them.
Got to keep them happy.
This is going to be up to you because, you know, the Pennsylvania Constitution and Toastmasters are both near and dear to your hearts.
Toastmasters.
You know what you could do?
I could quit.
You could alternate. One show do one show do the other.
I'm already doing that because this one is Gun Owners of America, and the next one, who's up next?
Stephen Worley?
Stephen. Oh. We dropped Stephen off there. I don't remember. We already know who the next one's going to be.
Oh.
But I can't recall off the top of my head.
Well, then you'll have to do a tri-rotation for the petition and Toastmasters. Because you need to keep your sponsors on here.
I know. Either that or we could get rid of the cohort question and go right to Bernie.
No. That wouldn't bother me.
That was a good question, though.
Yeah, because a lot of times the cohort questions are just fluff. So.
That's true, but they're surprising nonetheless.
It depends.
That was a good one, though.
Yeah.
And we actually had a musical response to it.
We can sing more later.
Yes. Okay. Well, on that prevaricating note, that is going to wrap up the me portion, I guess the us portion, the something portion of the Pennsylvania Project of episode 164. And what do you think about ancient graffiti or putting Pennsylvanians in cages for supporting a liberal's agenda of helping Ukraine? Or what do you think about teaching Pennsylvania Constitution to our kids or anything Pennsylvania related? If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com right after you sign our education petition, that is. And you can hear us there, too, as well as on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and a plethora of other popular podcast providers. Maybe I can cut down on the intro and the outro. That would buy us a couple of minutes, you think? I don't know.
I think you've got time to work on it.
We'll see. I'll listen to this episode, and then we'll make adjustments. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited, our main sponsor, and produced live in the studios of WWDB Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 4 p.m. now, among other times, and also on WPEN 97.5 FM HD2 in Burlington, New Jersey. Each episode is also released as a podcast every Monday at PennsylvaniaProject.com. Our webmaster, Stephen Worley, featured Toastmaster cohort, Donna Herb, featured Toastmaster narrator, drumroll, Utsav Ganiwala.
Yay.
Thank you. Official bartender Tom Kehoe, keyboard wizard Joe the Pag, radio producer Brett Kronberger, all by himself this time, and me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, hopefully without persecuting your own victimized citizens.